Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have been taking care of families and individuals in the Valley for decades. Why don't you find out why? That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. When you're that ingrained in the community, those are the kind of people I look to and say, you know what, that's where I want to take my business. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Kurt Smith, who wrote the book Voices of the Game, for joining us today to talk about everyone from Harry Callis and Whitey Ashburn to Bob Prince and across the board. Tomorrow, Larry Schenck. If these walls could talk, for 44 years, he worked in the public relations department. It was the public relations department of the Philadelphia Phillies. And the former PR director and PR executive of the Phillies is going to join us tomorrow to talk about his book, If These Walls Could Talk. Larry Schenck with us tomorrow on the show. And I'm sure we'll have some indie guest at some point this week.
Yeah, tomorrow on the show, as a matter of fact, at 4:35. It'll be Scott Goodyear, who spent the weekend covering time trials and covering the qualifying. He'll be joining us at 4:35 tomorrow.
On behalf of the audience, are we out of guests now?
Well, I could find some more if you'd like, but...
Nope, it's okay. We're good. Three is good.
I'd be more than happy to find more, I'm sure.
Outside of the city of Indianapolis, no one will have had more on in the last week than us.
Do you know Thursday is... Actually, I think it's Wednesday. Thursday is 100 days to the opener.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we do.
That's
actually
Thursday.
100 day. Yeah, it's 100 days today, the opener of college football period,
right,
which starts on a Thursday. Yeah.
Right, but the 100 days Thursday will be 100 days to the opener where you...
Actually, it's in 98 days until I'm actually in Ireland.
Right. I know that was my biggest concern.
Right now. What are you going to do when I'm over there?
I don't know. It's 8 o'clock over there when the show's on, so I know what you'll be doing at that time. I don't know what I'll be doing, but I'm pretty sure I know what you're going to be doing. This will be our first international broadcast. I'm excited.
You know, someone on the station had to break that kind of ground.
I mean, we've had callers on from other parts of the world before, but we've never actually done a show from across the pond.
Yes, we have.
And if you weren't planning on doing the show from across the pond, well, I guess you are now.
No, I was planning on doing the show from over there. Yes, I was planning on that. Yeah, planning on doing three shows from over there, as a matter of fact. It should not interrupt the golf trip on Friday.
No, well, I wouldn't want that to happen.
No. Jay Hamm and I have, along with Mr. Mueller, Jay Hamm, and I have, we talked today about that, as a matter of fact. So...
Yeah, one of the things that we had talked about on this program many times is the future of the NFL on television as far as the Sunday ticket situation. Whether it continues with DirecTV, whether it goes to cable, whether it goes to Google and YouTube, that's been a possibility. Now AT&T and DirecTV announce a merger contingent on the NFL and Sunday ticket potentially. The NFL's got a lot of power right now.
Well, look, it's in the same realm as as ESPN has with cable. And the reason being is that, look, you can't really have a cable. I'll give you a good example. We were staying in Ann Arbor at a hotel, Kensington Court, for basketball, not for football. The hotel really isn't big enough for football. But we were staying there for basketball. And one day, I think we go in there, and my cell phone rings. And it's the first time a Dick had gone out there to do a game. He goes, I got a problem. I said, what's that? He says, I'm flipping around this doggone thing. He says, Steve, what channel is ESPN here? I said, the hotel doesn't have ESPN. I'd like to point out to you, it's also the last time we stayed at the hotel.
I was going
to
say, did he immediately change hotels? Or
No, we all did. We changed. We were suddenly, and suddenly we were at the Ypsilanti Marriott. And I can tell you right now, Kensington Court, Marriott. Marriott, Kensington Court. Winner, Marriott. Okay. So, every time. Marriott's going to win almost every time. I can tell you that. But there was no ESPN. Like, what kind of idiotic cable system doesn't have ESPN? Come on. So, I mean, it's the same thing with this. Now, I don't know how many people have DirecTV versus cable. Now, 85% of the country, 85% of the country is cable ready.
Correct.
I believe that's the correct number, right?
That's the number I've heard as well.
Okay. Now, what's the percentage of people that have satellite dishes?
See, that's what I was looking up earlier, and I couldn't find a good number. I found several different numbers that were all over the place, but
it's not as if when I drive down 45 going into Lewisburg, or then cutting back through Mifflinburg, and going 204, 304, whatever, and I don't see a satellite dish here and there, because I do. In fact, my neighbor here has a satellite dish. In fact, I chip golf balls into it.
And, I'm sure you appreciate that.
Just kidding.
What are the deads on the dish? ESPN gets blurred out every so often.
but for example, the number of people I see that have a satellite dish, so here, for example, is really small. I used to see more satellite dishes when I would go down 26 toward Huntington or take 522, and I'd see more in certain areas. Even now, when I travel 45, go through Hartleton or go through Mifflinburg or whatever, I don't see that many. Or when I go 204, 304 in the rural areas, same thing, I don't see that many. It just seems to me like cable, if you have cable, you're pretty much set now.
Well, and this
even though I know DirecTV is making a big push.
Well, but the reason DirecTV makes the big push is Sunday Ticket. That's the biggest reason that if you talk to people that have DirecTV, they say, "Well, I have it for right. Sunday Ticket." Well,
right. which means you can get your hometown team anytime you want.
Exactly,
right?
Except in the playoffs and in primetime games where there's exclusivity. This is only on the Sunday games.
Right,
but
yeah.
AT&T wants to make a $49 billion purchase. But it's basically contingent on Sunday Ticket remaining with DirecTV after the 2014 season, because that's when the current agreement ends. AT&T may pull out of this deal and may not want to do it if Sunday Ticket goes the route that the NFL has been looking at, and that was working a deal with and making it accessible on YouTube.
Right, and I know you're trying to get a guest on to talk
I'm working
about
on
this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a very interesting story, and I think it goes back to how much power the NFL has right now with its product. I mean, here we're talking about a $49 billion merger contingent upon the NFL making a decision on which direction they're going to go.
Right. Well, if the NFL does have power, because it's the single most watched entity on television, period. If you look at the top 20 shows for last year, it turns out that of the top 20 shows, all 20 of them are NFL games. Every one of them is an NFL game. That includes the primetime playoff games, the Super Bowl, Sunday Night Football. They're the top 20 rated shows for the year. Tells you everything. I know you love the Olympics, but, you know, Sunday night, if you put on Sunday Night Football opposite the Olympics, it would bury it.
No, I would completely concede that.
And I'm talking about a regular season game. I don't mean a playoff game.
No, I would concede that without much thought.
It would bury it. I mean, and that's the way it is right now. So you're sitting there on DirecTV, right? The NFL is your most powerful entity. It's easily your most powerful entity because this is what you've built. Your Sunday ticket is what you've really built your business around. And that's what, you know, and that's why when you look at the power of it, the ratings power of it, the fact that people watch it, gravitate toward it. I mean, again, the NFL, when they took games off Monday night and they flipped it to Sunday night, it was a brilliant business decision. Brilliant. And that's what, you know, that's what the NFL has not reached the penetration rate yet. It just hasn't.
Here's the question I have, though. Let's say for our argument here that the NFL decides to go away from DirecTV. Now, DirecTV offers Sunday Ticket via satellite. They also have a package that lets you watch it on the internet. My question is, what if Sunday Ticket was only available on NFL.com via YouTube or whatever platform they decide to do, but it was available to anybody as long as you had an internet connection? Would you pay X amount of money to be able to watch your team, whether it's in market or out, wherever you go, and not just on the television? That's what I think is that's what I think the NFL is looking at here. Right now, they've been focusing on out-of-market games, and the NFL's thinking, you know what? What about the people that aren't able to sit and watch it at home? Would they be willing to pay for it to watch it on their phone, on their iPad, on their mobile device? That's where the money is, I think, in the NFL, for the NFL.
They already have the money.
Well, all right. That's where more of it would be. For instance, your local affiliate has the game. You're going to watch it probably on the local affiliate. But for the sake of the argument of teams in this area, what if the Steelers and Eagles were on the local affiliate, but you can't watch it on your phone or iPad? Would you pay $5 to watch it on YouTube, for lack of a better description?
Well, first of all, watching your phone or iPad is overrated. All right, let's start. That fad's going to die fast. You want to know why? Why do you think people go out and buy 50 and 60 inch screen TVs?
I don't disagree with you,
because they want to see. They don't want to see it on a small screen. Okay, they don't want to see it on a tiny. They can't sit there for an hour watching on a small screen. After a while, it's like it's too small for them.
I don't disagree with you there.
An iPad or a phone or a tablet. That's why if you want extended viewing, which is the name of the game, you want extended viewing on here. Which means that for your commercial partners, you want extended viewing as well. I think on a tablet or a phone, you're getting limited viewing because people get like, that's why you buy flat screen 50 and 60 inch HD TVs so you can sit there and have this big window to the world.
Yeah, and I agree with you, but if you don't have that option and I still want to watch the game, let me give you an example. When my son was playing youth football, it was every Sunday. I became the most popular father around because I had access to games on the web. So, you know, I used to say, hey, is the kid in the game? No. Okay, I'm going to watch the game for a little while. Let me know when he comes in.
Right.
But that's where I think the money opportunity exists, is for those people that are mobile.
Yeah. Let's examine the front end of that statement for a moment.
I know where you're going with this, and I'm not proud of that moment, okay? But he didn't get in the game that often on Sunday. Saturday was his game.
Yeah, where I became the most popular father around.
Oh, that part of it.
Let's examine that statement for a moment. Let's ponder it and take a break.
I was quite popular.
On News Radio 1070 WK. Okay.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person? Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Well, interesting doings in court today. NCAA attorney Everett Johnson Jr. argued that the plaintiff's claims that the NCAA held a gun to the head of Penn State, forcing the university to agree to unprecedented sanctions, is false. And Penn State simply had a choice between two undesirable options: sign the consent decree with provisions like a ban on bowl games, or see the entire football program suspended. At the end of the day, it's just not a game on a Saturday, said Johnson. Are you kidding me? That's the argument? How about that statement? I'll repeat that once again for the hearing impaired.
Or the completely confused.
No. In other words, sign it. Okay. The claim that the NCAA held a gun to the head of Penn State, forcing the university to agree to unprecedented sanctions, is false.
Right.
That Penn State had a choice of two undesirable options: sign the consent decree with provisions of scholarships and a bowl ban and so forth, or the other option was see the program suspended.
Would,
those were the two options.
Right. Would a better choice of words have been blackmail? I don't know.
At the end of the day, it's not just a game on a Saturday, says Johnson. Are you kidding me? This is the argument? This person was actually hired by somebody to say this? Well, guess what? In my neighborhood, I know how that comes out. And in my neighborhood, we have common sense.
It was just a choice of two bad options. Is that the way it was worded?
Basically, yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Not two similar options, mind you. I mean, one option is quite different than the other.
And evidently, he made a statement today that, hey, look, James Franklin can tell his recruits to redshirt a year, then they'll be able to play in a bowl game.
That goes right up there with opening the door up to NCAA free agency.
Are You know, because, I mean, that's true. I mean, the group that's verbally committed, if they redshirt 1 year, if the sanctions stay in place, then they will be able to play in a bowl game for all 4 years. These are statements being made in a courtroom. Wow. Wow. I think Kurt Busch had a better day today than this guy.
Yeah, and he didn't have a great day.
Wow.
Did he draw a short straw on that team of attorneys to make that statement?
I have no idea.
Did he get a bonus for saying it?
I have no idea.
Like, sometimes I say things that don't make sense, but at least I admit it that it doesn't make sense.
Well, what he's saying makes sense. But that doesn't help the argument.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, serving the valley for decades. So many people in the valley have trusted their insurance needs to the Purdy's, and justifiably so. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. Well, just one quick note on this. So, in other words, Penn State was given two options. What they accepted, which, of course, we all know what it is, or, quote, suspension of the program. In court today, those are the two options laid out. Okay? Now let me lay out this option for you. When the NCAA puts somebody on probation, there is an NCAA-conducted and led investigation. In fact, the NCAA, on November 17th of 2011, sent Penn State a letter of intent to investigate. In the end, they just accepted the free report, and then they went this direction. Okay, but what happens in an NCAA investigation is that you investigate it, you announce your findings, and then said school is always allowed under the NCAA rules, bylaws, to appeal. I'm trying to think when that appeal took place. All right. Okay. So
let me know if you come up with it.
No, you know, it's like, you know, I don't mean to use your own rules against you, but I mean, that's the way it is. This has been quite an admission in court today. We'll see how it plays out day by day. It's a long process in that regard, and I still maintain strongly that when the next yearly Mitchell report comes up, the door is open to another reduction because they have been following they've been implementing as time has gone on. And most of the, if you read the free report and you've actually read it, most of the recommendations, I think there are 119 of them, almost all of them, not almost, but the vast majority deal with the Clery Act, which is more the Department of Education and not athletics. But that's for another topic, another day. So, there we go. I just thought I saw that quote today. Well, no, we didn't hold a gun to their head. These were their two options. Okay. And we can't appeal this? Oh well. Every other, even UNLV got to appeal. It was interesting. The O'Bannon case is coming up.
think it's June 9th it starts, I believe.
Didn't they streamline that more? Didn't they streamline that case more to just going after money that they feel was due to them from video game sales and likenesses like as that?
You mean the O'Bannon people?
Yeah, I read something about that last week that I thought they streamlined that a little bit more.
Well, all I know is that on the surface, it's an uphill fight for the NCAA, on the surface. Now, they could obviously get into court and put together a great case and successfully litigate it, but I don't know. It seems like it's an uphill fight. I don't know.
Ran across this today, too. I thought this was interesting. They are ripping up the turf at Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah, they're going to sell it.
Yep. $149.95 for a piece of stadium grass that is 5 feet by 2 feet.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I argued a long time ago. Okay, when they put the field turf in at Holuba Hall, and they also tore out the AstroTurf on the outside and put field turf in there. And I had said to somebody in the football building, not Joe, I didn't say it to Joe, I said it to somebody else, I said, why don't you cut it up into 2x3s and sell it? And they said, what do you mean sell it? I said, so you don't think people would want a piece of the Holuba Hall practice field? You know, the same field that the 86 and 94 teams both practiced on? They both practiced, because that turf was in there a long time.
But that's turf.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm saying, though, and you know what? They never did it. They rolled it up, right, threw it into a storage shed. I'm like, well, what are you doing?
Oh, I totally agree with you. That's a great idea.
I said, you know, I mean, for goodness sakes, at the very least, do it and give the money to Uplifting Athletes. I mean, I don't care what you do with it. And Notre Dame, they're smart. That's a smart move. They'll sell the whole thing in a month.
Oh, I don't doubt it. But my question is, how does it actually work? I mean, it's not like it's turf. Now, I have a piece of Three River Stadium turf, and used and a piece of unused. But it's turf. I mean, it's not like it's going to die. I could put it in a glass jar or whatever, and it's going to be the same. I'm not quite sure how the grass is going to be able to be kept before it just becomes just dirt. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you tear up a spot in your yard that's the same piece, and you put it in.
Oh, so you're saying, so the idea is to replant. See, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about putting it on my mantle. I was not thinking about replanting it in the yard.
It's sod. So you'd plant it in the yard, and you'd tell everybody that, you know, there's your piece of Notre Dame Stadium in your yard.
Okay, yeah. That makes complete. I was not thinking that at all. I was thinking, how am I going to display this piece of, you know, dead grass that's now just a pile of dirt after a year?
So you bought a piece of Three River Stadium turf?
Yes. Yes, I did.
And how much did you pay for that?
It came on a plaque, certified.
Yeah.
I think $50. It was a square. It was 3x3. 3 inches by 3 inches.
3 inches by 3 inches? That's all you got?
Yeah, it's only a square.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no, no, no.
P.T. Barnum was right.
They're selling 5 feet by 2 feet for $150. This is mounted. This is mounted on a plaque with a picture of the stadium at night, certificate of authenticity.
So this is 5 feet by 2 foot strip.
Right. This is a five foot by two foot strip.
Okay. For $149.95.
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't come with the mounting plaque.
So for one third the price, you got 3 inches by 3 inches,
give or take an inch.
You don't think you got ripped off?
No, I got a really beautiful picture of Three River Stadium, which, by the way, you may realize you can't take a picture of Three River Stadium anymore. And it's on a nice little marble-ish, wall mount. And the best part, but the best part about it is that could be the piece, that could be the Immaculate Reception piece. Now, I like to think it is. I like to think it's a piece of end zone where the Immaculate Reception actually got completed. It could have been where it was caught.
Sure, yeah.
I like to think that.
Yeah, great. Good for you. Oh, P.T. Barnum was so far ahead of his time. Oh, you paid $50. And then you have a second piece?
Well, it came with a piece, unused piece, too.
Unused, yes. Such as what? What does that mean?
Unused. It was a replace. It was what the pieces that they. It was the roll that they used to replace pieces that got damaged on the field.
I see.
So I had
that was like
yeah, that was included.
It's like when you get the Ginzu knives. They throw in an extra knife free.
Right, right. I didn't even have to pay shipping and handling.
You don't have to pay $29.95. You just have to pay $19.95.
Right.
And not only that, you also get a second set of Ginzu knives. You paid $50. Does your wife know you do this?
Yes.
She approves of this?
As I hung it up, she goes, "You have no idea what happened on that piece of turf." I said, "Well, I don't know. It could be the Immaculate Reception." I said, "It could have been. I mean, it could have been just about anything." She said, "Yeah, it could have been somebody blew their nose on it, somebody bled on it." I'm like, "Only you would think that."
Or the 12-0 game I did there the last time Penn State played Pitt, where they had a backup on the field before the game.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Yes, and that's probably where your slice came from.
It's each 10-foot square roll of Notre Dame Stadium costs $149.95. By the way, that does include 2-day shipping.
Okay, $149. So you get 5 feet by 2 feet.
That's correct. Of grass and soil.
Ten square feet.
Yes, 10 square feet.
So that's 15 feet by 6 feet.
15. What?
So that. 15 feet, 5 yards. Or is it 5 feet?
5 feet by 2 feet.
Okay, see. So 5 feet by 2 feet. So
right.
You get 5 feet by 2 feet. Okay. So you get 10 square feet.
A 10 square foot roll.
And you get 9 square inches.
Yeah. Yeah. But I only paid a third of the price.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Nobody got ripped off there.
Well, and listen, there's a chance that you could put that in your yard and all of a sudden have a dead piece of dirt in your yard because it didn't transfer. Then how funny is it going to be when you spend $149 for your 10-square-foot roll of piece of dirt in your yard?
Do you want to know how funny it is to me? I don't own either one.
You don't have either one. What do you care?
So I really don't care. Wow. You collect all sorts of stuff.
I do have an unusual collection.
Do you have a brick from Indianapolis?
No, but I just want to touch the bricks one day. I just want to touch the bricks.
Well, I've stood on the bricks.
No, I want to touch the bricks.
I've stood on the bricks. I've walked the track. That makes you mad, doesn't it?
I got a lug nut from Pocono. Like, do you want this? Nah, we don't need it. Cool.
I bet you were the talk of the garage.
No, because 2 years later when I started going there, they had a sign out that goes for their children's charities. One of the teams had lug nuts for $1. They started charging for them after that.
Did you get the lug nut mounted?
No, but I did buy one for $1 because I felt, it went to a good cause.
When I was in Dallas for when Dick was put into the College Basketball Writers Association Hall of Fame, the gift that they had at the table for each of us was a piece of the Final Four floor. So I'm giving it to my brother.
I was going to say, please do something with it and don't do what you normally do with memorabilia.
Oh, that's nice.
What?
Oh, that's nice. It's in a corner in the Sunbury Motors studio.
Well, he's a big UConn fan. I thought he'd appreciate it.
I think that's a great idea. I think he will appreciate it, and I understand where he's coming from.
I get that. For example, they gave me a piece of the rec hall floor. Okay, I've got it. It's sitting up on a shelf. Joe gave me a piece of the Boston Garden. He said, you'd appreciate this more than me. I said, okay, great. So he gave me a piece of the Boston Garden. The parquet floor?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Boston Garden. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know, Joe.
It doesn't excite me, but, you know. I mean, I understand the history behind it, and if you're a Boston fan, it's a great piece of memorabilia. That's like if they cut up the Green Monster and sold it.
Yeah, well. It's in a box. This stuff angers you that I have this stuff, and I...
Yeah, the fact that it's in a box, yes.
Well, you don't like the fact that my rings are in a...
Oh, don't even, championship ring. I don't even want to talk about your ring.
Why?
There is not one person that listens to this program that would not wear one. I feel very safe going out on that limb, except the person I'm talking to right now.
Then maybe I'm the right person for the job.
Feel free to pass your rings along. I'll wear them for you.
Well, no, they're mine. They have my name on them.
I don't care. That makes it better. Have you ever watched Pawn Stars?
Watch what?
Pawn Stars on the History Channel. It's about a pawn shop in Vegas. They buy and sell stuff. You should watch that.
Okay.
You'll understand the world of memorabilia a lot better by watching Pawn Stars.
I'm trying to think if there's anything I would want. No. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. What?
Seek help.
Seek help. Seek help. Well, what, because I'm not a collector. For example, I have pictures of with different people, for example, and I have those hanging up. Like Dennis Miller and myself, you know, okay, fine. I've got that hanging up. Governor Rendell, I've got that hanging up. Joe and me, I've got that hanging up. Patrick Chambers and me, you know. I have that.
I want everybody listening to go on Steve Jones Show on Facebook. So go to Facebook, Steve Jones Show. I want to know if you would wear your Steve's rings if you were Steve. That's what I want to know. I'm going to prove that you're in the minority.
Well, it doesn't matter if I'm in the minority. I'm the, you know, they were.
No, usually I'm the one in the minority, so it's my turn.
Yeah, but they're mine. It's my choice as to whether or not to wear them.
Okay.
I mean,
all right. And what piece? And the other question I would ask is, what piece of memorabilia would you want to own? Because you asked that question of yourself, and you said nothing. What piece of memorabilia would you want to own? For instance, like a piece of Notre Dame turf.
Okay, let me put it this way.
No, brother.
Okay. Joe won his 400th game when they beat Northwestern, right?
Yes. Not according to the NCAA, but that's a different topic.
Whatever. Okay. So it came time, I wanted to give him a gift, because everybody was giving him a gift.
This was a good idea. I remember this story.
Okay. So I decided I wanted to be something personal between the two of us that was just overtime. Okay. Every time he did the pregame show with me, he would go to Cynthia Ault's desk and he would either grab handful of licorice, or usually, I'd say 7 times out of 10, he'd grab a handful of pretzels. He'd come in and he'd munch on the pretzels while we did this. So I gave him a canister with 400 pretzels in it. And I told him, I said, look, I would give you 400 pieces of licorice, but I think your dentist would kill me. All right. Now, he loved that. I mean, I'm talking, he's you know, and he genuinely loved it. He says, because, yeah, he says, you know what? He says, that is between you and me. No, he says, not with anybody else. And he's, you know, he kept it underneath his desk, and he said, you would always tell me, he says, yeah, I had a few more this week. He said, he didn't want to bring them home. He says, they'll eat them on me. He said, this is mine. Okay. Now, memorabilia? See, my memories are a little more personal. It's not... You still think I'm not normal.
No, that's who you are, and that's fine.
We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
That's the theme from Pawn Stars. Let's see. There should be an episode tonight at 10 on History Channel. So there, you can check it out and tell me what you think.
24 is on tonight.
So record one of them.
No. Jack Bauer is into hour four here.
Jack Bauer is in hour four.
Hey. Come on. I'm thrilled they brought 24 back. Are you kidding me? Jack's back.
What's going to happen if you miss 1 hour? By the way, Pawn Stars, you were asking how it does in the ratings.
24 versus Pawn Stars? Are you kidding me?
The last Thursday, Pawn Stars on cable drew, let's see, a 0.9 behind The Big Bang Theory, Family Guy. Oh, no, I'm sorry, the 1.1. The second one drew a 0.9. It was fourth after the NBA playoffs and Vikings and Family Guy.
So it was a 0.9?
Well, the NBA playoffs only got a 0.2 on the cable, but that's cable ratings now.
So you got a 0.9 on that show?
1.1. 0.9 was the second show.
Okay, at 1.1, that's the first show on cable you've watched that cleared a 1.
See, there you go. And it wasn't the NBA playoffs.
Wow. Because you usually watch like IndyCar and Tour de France. And
yeah, I don't see those on the top 100 list right now. A lot of Pawn Stars. A lot of Pawn Stars, though. And SpongeBob's doing really well.
They sold you a 3-inch by 3-inch square at Three River Stadium, and you bought it for $50. Tomorrow, our guest is P.T. Barnum.
Business and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. And on WKOK.com.